This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
The Normal Theater is reopening with limits.
We are keeping it so that parties are together, and then from there, the system will automatically give a lot of space. You'll have at least two rows in front of and behind you.
Theater manager Adam Fox says about 50 of the 400 seats will be available. The theater opens just in time for the Manhattan Short Film Festival. Plus, hear from the Libertarian candidate for McLean County Board in District 7, and arts correspondent Laura Kennedy is drawn to the water for a new exhibit. That and a news update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on WGLT.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology, celebrating 30 years as local hearing healthcare professionals. With a practice featuring five doctors of audiology, including two who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient. They believe those personal partnerships are how people embrace hearing technology and keep hearing the most important sounds of their lives. More information at bnaudiology.com. Bloomington Normal Audiology, here for you.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Let's run down some of the day's top stories. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley says he's concerned the pandemic could impact the property tax base for years. Riley says he doesn't see the need for budget cuts this year, despite a projected deficit of nearly $5 million.
My hope is to avoid that by being able to provide these funds for these what are hopefully short-term deficits. But only time will tell.
Riley says the district plans to keep the tax rate virtually the same. The district has approved issuing $15 million in bonds and using $1.8 million in reserves to plug part of the deficit. McLean County health officials have announced 19 new confirmed coronavirus cases as the number of active cases and positivity rate continue to drop. County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight says the community's vigilance has helped after a sharp rise in cases in late August and early September.
We had a surge, and then we had people really taking the virus seriously, and that, you know, this is a noticeable effect of that. And so now is definitely not the time for us as a community to take off that gas pedal.
The county has 202 COVID patients isolating at home. 10 are in the hospital, including two in intensive care. When choosing a mask or face covering, research from the University of Illinois suggests two layers of a breathable material can be just as effective as a surgical mask. U of I engineering professor Taher Saif led a study on how effective common household fabrics are at blocking respiratory droplets. His team tested 11 materials, including cotton and polyester blends from T-shirts, bedsheets, and dishcloths. Saif says single-layer materials can block at least half the droplets, and with two layers, the efficiency jumps to more than 90%.
Then the question is, well, I have good breathable material now. How do I design a mask so that I don't create big open spaces? And that's where the creativity comes.
Saeed says breathability and a good fit are important to make sure droplets don't leak from the sides of the mask. Illinois Wesleyan University is unveiling a newly transformed 5,700-square-foot eSports Center. It's a practice and competition space for 40 gamers who compete in things like Fortnite, League of Legends, and Super Smash Brothers. eSports director Callum Fletcher says they added a lounge for spectators to watch competitions once the pandemic has passed.
I've always thought eSports should be a more social experience. We recognize that's why people play games in the first place, outside of competition.
Fletcher says once it's safe again, people should come for tailgates ahead of matches. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM WGLT and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Welcome to WGLT Election 2020 coverage. Throughout the campaign season, we're conducting interviews and forums with the candidates in different races. And today we talk with the Libertarian candidate running for County Board District 7, Darren George Cabe. District 7 is an area which serves much of East Bloomington. Darren is running against Republican incumbent Jacob Beard and Democratic challenger Val Lehman. Videos of these interviews will be available online as well, and each candidate has been given time for an opening statement. And Darren, the floor is yours, a two-minute introduction.
Well, as you said, my name is Darren George Cabe. I've actually lived in the Bloomington Normal McLean County area since the late 1980s. So basically, I remember when the fairgrounds were at the area where Lowe's is at currently. I've seen it grow tremendously in many ways. Matter of fact, I went to Tri-Valley High School, graduated class of 2000, and my graduating class was 54 people, I believe, and they've grown tremendously to where they have three buildings now for their elementary, junior high, and high school. So, you know, just tremendous outgrowing of McLean County that I've seen. I'm a six-year veteran of the Illinois Army National Guard. Actually, I was here with the 131 Infantry in Bloomington. I spent my last year of service on active duty in Fort Polk, Louisiana. I managed to get myself back into school in 2016 and am an alumni student of Illinois State University, fall 2018, with a concentration in sociology, minors in psychology and anthropology. So basically, I understand how to communicate with people, listen to people, and I feel I know what I can do, what, you know, help people do what's best and, you know, help hold an accountable government.
Our first question is one of government philosophy, especially at the local and county government level. How much of a role should government play in our lives, and what experiences have helped form your philosophy? 2 minutes.
I say the government is supposed to be there to protect us as citizens, help, you know, serve us. And I have actually had more experiences as a concerned citizen, starting off here with the local level. I used to live at Fox Hill Apartments, and I would see people in power chairs several times a day going up and down that street with traffic just flying by them. And at the time frame that I lived there, I seen myself walking up and down that street one time and, you know, just praying for my own life with traffic flying by. So I got a hold of the city alderman and told them, hey, when are you going to get sidewalks in this area? And I was told it wasn't in the budget. I'm like, okay, whose budget is it in if somebody hits and runs these people that are in power chairs? Because they can't drive out the way like I can. It seems like a lot of the government of serving our people that I've seen has been more hindsight. And as I said in my opening statement, I want to be able to keep government accountable so we're not looking at things hindsight. I'm sure there's ways I can help things on the county level, and even on the county level, maybe even able to help keep the local levels accountable.
The county-run nursing home in Normal is an issue the county board may have to confront at some point. The facility lost $5 million over the last 3 years. Its primary service to the community is to provide care for families on public assistance. The county recently hired a new administrator to implement more reforms and cost-saving measures at the facility. What is an acceptable cost for the county if they were to potentially have to subsidize this nursing home? And at what point does the county explore other options for it? 2 minutes.
I honestly haven't thought that far ahead into the cost of it. I just know it happens to be a great resource for, you know, those families that, as you said, have that lower income. And it's also been a great resource for nursing students to train. Matter of fact, when my wife had a CNA license, she did her training there and had a great experience, you know, training there. Yeah, so it would, in my eyes, it'd be a great loss to let go of it because, you know, many people cannot afford more expensive nursing homes. And, you know, they have a great training opportunity there for different CNAs. So maybe if they can keep structuring a way to keep training CNAs and maybe other kind of nursing fields there, that could be one way to help out in the cost, because usually those training are in classes and paying for the classes. So sad to say, they may not need to get paid while they're training there. So that may be one way to save money. But then again, how fair is that to the individuals being supported. So it's just something we're going to have to tackle, and I'm going to have to look at further when I get more information.
And this is 89.1 FM, WGLT, and WGLT.org. You're listening to WGLT's election coverage in a candidate profile in the race for County Board District 7, Libertarian Darren George Cabe. County Board District 7 serves much of East Bloomington. What issues specific to residents of that district, perhaps what you may be hearing from residents in your district that you would like to address on the County Board in 2 minutes?
I would honestly say I haven't been able to talk much with other residents in the area. I've actually been busy in my own life trying to keep up on things. But one of the things I heard of when I took up on a city meeting that somebody in my neighborhood put together was the growing crime rate in the area. And went to that city meeting and actually made runner's jaw drop once before because everybody was asking the small questions, getting the easy answers. And I turned around and I said, you know, I've lived in this area 20 plus years, seen it grow tremendously. I'd like to know what the current police to citizen ratio is. And he had to turn it over to the police chief at the time, who had to give the political answer, I say, of not to the point where we'd like it, but not to the point where we're overwhelmed. And I know the police is a hot topic as well, so I'm sure that question might be hidden. I'll be able to further explain that later. But I guess the biggest thing I've heard throughout the years, and you know, just even here in my neighborhood, is the growing crime rate.
Yeah, and this is 89.1 FM, WGLT, and WGLT.org. You're listening to WGLT's election coverage and a profile of a candidate in the race for McLean County Board District 7. We have Libertarian candidate Darren George Cabe, who is running against Republican Jacob Beard, the incumbent, and Democrat Val Lehman. As we now move to the closing statement from candidate Darren George Cabe, you have 90 seconds.
Well, as I said, I've lived in this area since the 80s, late 80s, and I've seen it grow tremendously. And I would love to help it, you know, be able to grow more, shape into something that, you know, we as citizens of McLean County would be proud to be a part of and, you know, see it prosper a lot more, a lot better for, you know, everybody. And, you know, just being on the ballot is enough for me right now to feel like, hey, I'm making enough of a difference that, you know, I may get, you know, both parties because everybody assumes just Democrat and Republican. They don't think about other parties. But, you know, maybe I'm just enough to get the parties to think, hey, we need to straighten up. We need to do what's best for the people. We need to, you know, put our differences aside, compromise, do what's right, do what's best. And if I get elected, I'm willing to listen to, you know, my opponents and take their advice because I admit I am a rookie at this. This is my first time running. And I'd be willing to listen to their advice that they may have. And I'd also be willing to listen to other board members take their advice and not just listen to people of my area, but I'd listen to people of all areas of McLean County. So I just really hope I get that shot and see y'all in November.
Our thanks to Darren George Cabe, a candidate for McLean County Board District 7. You've been listening to WGLT Election 2020 coverage of the race for McLean County Board in District 7. Hear all of our election coverage at WGLT.org or online on the WGLT YouTube channel. I'm Eric Stock.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. After being closed for 6 months due to the pandemic, the Normal Theater will reopen for in-person film screenings October 1st. Normal Civic Arts Manager Adam Fox tells Ryan Denham the biggest question is not when they'll reopen, but how to do it safely.
First and foremost, that was the health and well-being of our staff and any audience members coming in. We wanted to make sure that the experience was still as true to the Normal Theater moment of walking through those doors and having that classic cinema-going feel, but also to assuage concerns in the times that we're obviously living in. So We made the choice based on input that we got through a public survey from people as they talked about what their concerns were, what their potential issues may be, and helped to guide our decision-making in that process using the best available data that we had, both from them and, of course, from the scientific community as well.
So what is going to be different? What are your patrons going to notice?
Sure. Well, the biggest thing will be that we're going to be operating at a reduced capacity when we reopen. We are only going to have a maximum of 50 audience members in the theater at any given time. And that's significant when you consider the theater can normally hold 400. So it is definitely a low percentage, but that's actually great because it means that it gives a lot of opportunity for physical distancing. We will have plenty of room in between seats for people, and we will be using assigned seating. That's going to be a major change at the normal theater, something I don't know that we've ever done. What that will mean is selecting your seat from a seating chart, whether you're at the box office 30 minutes before the show or whether you're purchasing tickets online. You will be able to select your seat. You can sit with your party. Anybody that you're coming with, you're welcome to sit. You don't have to, if you and your wife are coming, you don't have to sit socially distanced from each other. You're welcome to, but you don't have to. But we are keeping it so that parties are together. And then from there, the system will automatically give a lot of space. You'll have at least two rows in front of and behind you, and then a lot of seats to the side as well.
My understanding is you will not be selling concessions, and you know, outside food and beverage is still a no-no. How did you make that decision?
You know, it was a tough decision. And we know that popcorn is part of the movie going experience, right? And that the normal theater popcorn is, if I may, pretty darn good. It was a hard decision for us to make, to not offer some of those things that people are used to. But we did that in the interests of, again, providing the safest experience that we possibly could. We wanted to make sure people were going to wear their masks the entire time they're in the theater. That is a requirement that we have. So from the moment you walk in the door, move through the lobby, get in your seat, and sitting there for the duration of the show, we are requiring patrons to have their masks on at all times. And when you introduce concessions into it, you start to say, well, you can take your mask off if you're eating, but does that mean you put the popcorn in your mouth and pull it back up, and then while you're chewing, you have to have the mask on? Or are we going to start to try and look at, well, how long can you have your mask down? And we didn't want to get into those gray areas. We didn't want people to feel like they were going to wear their mask the entire time and that made them comfortable, but somebody else in the theater may not be, and create that level of concern. So in order to make the safest decisions possible, we just decided to go with no concessions, and therefore masks can remain on at all times.
You know, other movie theaters across the country, even in other parts of Bloomington Normal, have reopened in recent weeks. What has, you know, kind of the movie industry learned about going back to the movies that maybe you guys can use a little bit of that wisdom here?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the continued importance of theaters and distributors working together, right? One of the biggest challenges that theaters are facing is that they don't know what to play. And because of that, they're maybe having audiences be a little tentative in coming back because they're saying, well, I don't know if there isn't a movie for me to see, should I go back? And the distributors are seeing that and saying, well, if people aren't going to the movies, do we want to release our movie right now? Right? So there's this weird sort of circle that's happening right now of content being somewhat limited at the major theaters and it remaining limited because people aren't going to see the content that isn't there, right? So it shows the importance that of showing films and making sure the titles are available to everybody. We are actually very fortunate in what we do because we show both repertory classics, films that people know and have loved and maybe have never had the chance to see on the big screen. And we show those independent films, the smaller releases, the films that won't necessarily be picked up by the multiplexes across the country, but deserve an audience. They deserve to be screened and seen as they were intended by the filmmaker. So when we come out of the gates, we're going to be showing the Manhattan Short Film Festival, which is a collection of 9 short films submitted from all over the world, an amazing collection of films from perspectives on a wide range of topics. It's really a fascinating slate. And we're the only ones that do that, almost the only ones that do that in the state, to take part in this amazing program that is international. It's a global film festival where the audience members are voting on the winners. So it's a really unique opportunity to be a part of that cinema-going experience and to really have an impact on saying to these new emerging filmmakers, we love your work, we're supporting your work, we're directly commenting on how much we enjoyed the quality of your work.
That's Normal Civic Arts Manager Adam Fox speaking with Ryan Denham about the reopening of the Normal Theater. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Artist Kathy Ingberg celebrates life's simple everyday moments in her paintings. The artist is especially drawn to capture moments by the sea or the pool. Her work is currently on view at the McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington. WGLT Arts correspondent Laura Kennedy has more about the show that hopes to draw viewers closer to the water.
Balancing realism and abstraction, artist Kathy Ingberg paints playful images, designing a narrative that she hopes is easily relatable. A major inspiration for Ingberg is water, be it the ocean or a small backyard pool. Her figures splash about in slices of everyday life. The McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington is currently showing her paintings in an exhibition called Drawn to the Water. Ingberg says her inspiration calls on many things, but what really gets her excited is the way light falls on a figure.
And the contrast in the shadows that creates. And finding color and shapes that are unexpected in the shadows and the light. I do love focusing on that. And because the beach, I like painting people who are having fun, are playing. And the beach is the perfect place to get both the sun and shadows and people having fun.
Is there a particular reason why, Kathy, you are drawn to the water, something that goes down deep to your instincts?
I think it's really just the colors. People being happy, people having fun. I mean, it's not very often you're at the beach and people aren't happy.
Unless somebody's shouting shark.
Right, which I have not experienced that, thank goodness.
Good. So that sense of fun, is that what drew you to doing figurative work mostly?
I've always kind of drawn the figure. Even as a kid, I would draw intertwining arms, you know, and movement with the figure. So people having fun is something I can relate to.
Well, your paintings have a kinetic feel to them. You're getting people mid-jump or mid-run or what have you. How do you create a narrative through your paintings, Kathy?
I paint for photos. In order to capture those movements, I, you know, may stop action in a photo. So I take a lot of photos, but they aren't great photos. They're just, I don't compose the composition in the camera. I just take tons of photos and put them in Photoshop and spend a lot of time cropping and combining.
Is the mood the most important thing?
Right. The feeling. Maybe to spark somebody's memory of how they felt, something like that they experienced. You know, I like that, and I like the texture. You know, I try to play with the texture and the mood. I'm thinking of a lot of different things when I'm doing it. It's not just the composition. It's, you know, how the surface looks. And
well, speaking of textures and surface, you use a cold wax medium in your paintings. Can you tell us what that is and why you use that?
Cold wax is an oil paint medium. You mix it right in with your oil paints. It has a beeswaxy consistency that gives the paint a little texture and body. I like to paint in thin layers, starting like usually with brighter colors and covering those up. And then I'll scratch in to reveal previous layers of color. I either use solvent or scratching to do this. And it all depends on how dry your paint is and how long you leave the solvent on as to what will happen. They're unexpected results, which I love.
Is that what gives your paintings, to me anyway, the sense of movement that at any minute somebody might jump out of that painting?
Yeah, I like to render the figure. I spend a lot of time giving the figure form and depth, and then I'll do pattern. I take a pattern like stencil or a brayer and go over the figure in areas that will flatten it. It's kind of a push and pull that plays with your eye a bit, where it pulls the background forward and the foreground backward, but then you have the rendering, which is form. When I can pull that off, or I don't do that to everything, but I try to fit that in when I can, and that's, I think that helps with the movement, helps things get lost and found.
That's artist Kathy Ingberg. Her paintings are on display in Drawn to the Water, currently at the McLean County Art Center in Bloomington through October 9th. I'm Laura Kennedy.
You can see a gallery of photos of Kathy Engberg's works at our website, wglt.org. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT Normal, made possible with listener contributions at WGLT.org. You can subscribe to Sound Ideas on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or NPR One. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We'd like to know what you think of Sound Ideas. Comment on our Facebook page, we're WGLT-FM, or follow us on Twitter. We're all at WGLT News. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media.